90.5 WKAR and Current State, I'm Mark Bayshore. The Michigan State football team lost to Ohio State Saturday night, and with the 49-37 defeat, the Spartans have now lost twice. They will not make it into the NCAA's 14 playoff at the end of the season. We've fallen to number 12 in the AP College Football poll. Al Martin, host of WKAR's Current Sports, is here with a look at the setback and what lay ahead for Coach Mark D'Antonio's team. Thanks for joining us, Al.
Hey, no problem. Thank you, Mark. Thank you.
Let's start with the bigger picture here. Two losses means we won't be in the playoffs. Still, the Spartans will probably be the favorite in each of their last three games. So what are the prospects after the season if this plays out that way and they wrap up the season with just two losses?
Yeah, well, right now, I mean, Michigan State ideally is trying to play for any top-tier bowl game. And they have to, you know, make it look good on paper. When you go and play Maryland on the road next week, which is also a night game, 8 p.m. game, primetime game, and then you go on and play Rutgers at home to finish up, the home season, I guess you will. Now, when you look at it, though, Michigan State, I mean, everybody's hopes, you know, if you look at even Vegas, I mean, just the national perception of Michigan State coming into this Ohio State game was that Michigan State had a legit shot mm-hmm. of making that playoff. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody picked Michigan State from every newspaper you read, TV show, radio show you talked about. I mean, everybody had MSU winning this game. It was just such a shocker and sort of a weird mood seeing D'Antonio and Pat Narduzzi and Dave Warner enter that press conference. Like, you know, I mean, ideally, what do you play for now? Because the expectations were so high for this team, and just in the blink of an eye, to have all of that change, I don't think it really had hit that team right after that game, Mark.
I think there was so much anticipation just because it's the first year of the final. To think we would go from winning a Rose Bowl to one of the Final Four in the very first year that there is a Final Four, I think it just captivated everybody. The possibility of that captivated
everybody.
Yes, certainly.
Sure. Yeah.
Redshirt freshman quarterback JT Barrett of the Buckeyes had a game to remember. 300 yards passing for 3 touchdowns. He also ran the ball for over 100 yards. They rolled up 568 yards of total offense. Why couldn't our defense stop the Buckeyes? What happened?
Well, first off, I got to say, I don't know. JT Barrett is listed as a freshman, but man, did he play like a senior vet. I mean, my goodness. That kid's unbelievable. And I think Tywan Jones, when he sparked a little bit of controversy on the brink of this game, saying that, yeah, he thinks that JT Barrett is a better quarterback, a quote-unquote very much better quarterback than Braxton Miller, I think he hit it right on the head. I mean, this kid can do it all. I mean, he can hit you with short yardage passing, deep yardage passing. He can beat you on the ground. But as far as MSU defense goes, I mean, this is an MSU defense. Last year, top in the nation. This year, ranked 5th in the nation coming into this game. Michigan State was expected to slow him down a little bit.
Sure.
What really, you know, there's two things to this that really stood out to me in this game, Mark. First off, the defensive line. I thought the defensive line, ideally at the beginning of that game, did a great job of getting pressure on JT, breaking a few holes, you know, and making some stops in the backfield. All of a sudden, as that game rolled on, then you had the injury to Shalik Calhoun as well, that offensive line started to open up some holes for not only Barrett, but also Ezekiel Elliott to run out a little bit and get loose. Jalen Marshall also had a few big runs here and there. But also, I think Urban Meyer and that Ohio State offense knew that Darian Hicks, linebacker Darian Hicks, is ideally, you know, coming into a spot where he's not too familiar with. He's not as experienced as you would like your linebacker to be. Mm-hmm. They attacked him. He had a few missed tackles, a few blown coverages. And, you know, Urban Meyer challenged that secondary of Michigan State, which has had a few lapses when looking at their struggles this year. He challenged them. JT Beard had some big pass gains left and right, and, you know, it kind of went down the hill from there. But it was shocking, though, because Michigan State wasn't typical. That wasn't a typical Narduzzi coach defense performance that we saw on Saturday.
Not the no-fly zone anymore?
It was not the no-fly zone. It was the fly zone that day.
Looking ahead, MSU plays at Maryland next Saturday. We'll be favored over the Terrapins.
Yeah, definitely. I think this will be an ideal rebound game for Michigan State. You better believe, Mark, that they are certainly saying, you know, and thinking to themselves what could have happened, the implications that game could have had on Saturday. And they're going to come out fired. We're looking at, you know, big losses that Michigan State has had in the past. You know, I would say in the D'Antonio era, they usually come out the next week amped and ready to go and ready to prove themselves. And I think this MSU defense, seeing as though I think they got hit in the mouth, that reputation is taking a bit of a blow, they're going to rebound, I think, Mark.
Let's talk a little bit in the time we've got left about those cardiac kids, the Detroit Lions, who won on a come-from-behind fourth-quarter touchdown. What do you make of this team and where it stands in mid-November?
Well, you know, let me wipe my my bottom lip here, Mark, because I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. All right, I am drinking the Detroit Lions Kool-Aid. There is a culture change happening with this Detroit Lions team, Mark. I mean, looking at how they've been able to acquire these past few wins. I mean, what is this, the first time? Well, actually, the Lions have only been 7-2 two times in their history, dating back to the 50s, which is truly remarkable to me. But looking at how they've done it, like you said, the cardiac kids, the comeback kids, whatever you want to dub them, how they've been able to come back has been just, I mean, you just sit there with your jaw on the floor sometimes. Matthew Stafford, sometimes he looks so suspect those first three quarters, but when that fourth quarter hits and if his team is down, I mean, he's money. I mean, and it helped the fact that they had Calvin Johnson back. I thought Golden Tate made some big catches, especially on that final drive to take the lead. This team is, I think, ideally, the main aspect you have to look at this, Mark, is Jim Caldwell. The way that he is sort of bringing a different mindset in the final minutes of games and how cool, calm, and collected this team is, I think that's just a reflection of Jim Caldwell. And this team has been doing a phenomenal job at being poised in those final moments.
We got about 30 seconds left, Al. Next week, the Lions play at Arizona, which has been one of the best teams in the league this season. Can Detroit win at Arizona?
They certainly can, but they cannot have a comeback win in that one, Mark. They have to be on their P's and Q's throughout an entire game in that one. They can't. No more comebacks. I mean, they're giving everybody a heart attack.
Yeah. Al Martin is the host of Current Sports on WKAR Radio and Television. Catch more every weekday afternoon at 1 p.m. on AM 870. Thanks, Al.
Hey, thank you, Mark.